Love is an action, not a feeling. In our reading, Jesus talks about love, but it's in the context of action. He talks of us keeping his commands as he has kept the Father's commands. He talks about loving each other, laying down our lives for our friends, and going and bearing fruit that will last. Love is an action, not a feeling. Years ago, in the late 1980s, when I worked in Hong Kong, I came across an English woman called Jackie Pullinger, and we have a photo of her, as she was then, when I remember, in the 80s. And at the age of 22, Jackie boarded a ship in Southampton bound for Japan with nothing but a £10 note in her pocket and a prayer that God would show her where to where he wanted her and where to disembark. And when the ship called at Hong Kong, another slide, I think, there we go, Hong Kong in the 80s, there's a few more buildings now. She sensed that God was telling her to get off, to leave the ship, and so she obeyed. And initially, she worked in part of Hong Kong called the Walled City of Kowloon, which no longer exists, but we have a photo of it. Huge tenement block, basically, of illegally built flats. It existed until the 1990s when it was pulled down. But it was a lawless slum full of opium dens, pornographic film theatres, and triad gangsters who profited from the crime and prostitution. It was a place of great darkness. In fact, the Chinese name for the walled city is Haknam, which means city of darkness. And the next slide gives you an idea of what the streets were like when you were inside the walled city. You could see no sunlight whatsoever. And it was in this place of darkness, Haknam, that Jackie would say that her life began as she got to work loving the unlovable. And as she did that, God showed up. Heroin users would pray in tongues and find themselves miraculously released from their addiction. Crime bosses surrendered their lives to Jesus. Prostitutes quit their profession. And Jackie, who is now nearly 80, is still in Hong Kong, answering God's call to love the unlovable. Thousands of people have, over the years, come to know Jesus through her ministry. And many Christians, myself included, have been equipped and empowered to see life as an adventure into which Jesus calls us. Actually, Jackie hates the idea of having a ministry. Rather, she has a divine calling, and through obedience is simply leading the life which God has given her. Love is an action, not a feeling. And love comes in many different ways. It can be heroic, such as laying down one's life for one's friends, or, like Jackie Pullinger, the simple act of sitting and praying with an addict as they go through cold turkey and detox from drug abuse, or going with them to court, visiting them in prison. Or it can be very simple, such as giving people your time and telling others of what Jesus has done for you and what he means to you. And from the earliest days of the church, love was a mark of Christian believers. Pagans would marvel at the way the Christians shared their possessions and would comment, "See how they love one another." There's a report to the Roman Emperor Hadrian, and he was told this about the Christians: "They love one another. They never fail to help widows, to save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give freely to those who have nothing. They do not consider themselves brothers and sisters in the usual sense, but instead brothers and sisters through the Spirit of God." When epidemics raged around the Roman Empire, it was the Christians who would care for each other. The pagans would not. The Christians would nurse their neighbors, people outside their community, whilst the pagans would flee. The Christians respected women. Girls were allowed to grow up into young women before they were married. while the culture around them married off young girls, abused women, and subjugated wives. Along with the Jews, rules of hygiene and moderation provided a healthier community and an example of love and care. Those around would see how the Christians cared for each other and for their neighbours, and many converted to Christianity. People became Christians because the Christians' moral way of life was better than that of the pagans, and their love for those within and without the community showed a better way, the way of love. Love is an action, not a feeling. The word in Greek for love, for the love of sisters and brothers, is the word used in the Bible reading for the friendship which we have with God and with each other. It's the love which corresponds to the love between God the Father and God the Son, between Jesus, God's Son, and his disciples. So it's descriptive. This is how Christians love one another, but it's also prescriptive. This is how Christians ought to treat each other. As Jesus says, "This is my commandment. You should love one another as I have loved you." The great reformer in the Middle Ages, Martin Luther, said that we are to become little Christs to our neighbour. And whilst he acknowledged that God works through means of grace, which include the Bible, the Word of God, and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, God also works, he says, through what he called the conversation and consolation of the brethren. In other words, showing love to our neighbour. God works through us as we love our sister and brother, as we share our faith story and listen to theirs, as we comfort and encourage, challenge and console. God works through us as we love one another, as God first loved us. The Bible reading from John's Gospel is a clear reminder of the importance of love. The passage is part of Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples. The first few verses, which we didn't read, of chapter 15 introduce the idea of abiding in Jesus. "Remain in me," he says. And the verses we've heard continue that imagery where he says, "Remain in my love." The passage also introduces the idea that everything comes from God the Father. In John's Gospel, just before today's reading, Jesus has declared that "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." And this idea is repeated in today's reading when Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Jesus wants his disciples, and now you and me, to know that they are to love one another as they have been loved. The message throughout is describing the interrelationships between the Father, the Son, and the Son's disciples. Jesus' message, his gospel, from the beginning emphasizes the unity, the oneness, the togetherness of the Father and the Son. At the start of John's gospel, we learn that in the beginning was the Word, in other words, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has already said in John's Gospel, "I and the Father are one." And in his high priestly prayer just before his death, he will pray that the disciples themselves may be one, even as we are one. And Jesus wants us to remain in his love. But what does that mean? The Greek word in the original text means dwelling in a particular place, remaining there, abiding there. It's suggestive of a kind of peace and stability that we usually associate with home, with our home. And when it's used of relationships, as it is here, it suggests a steadfast relationship, a relationship where hearts and souls are united. To remain in Jesus' love, then, suggests being immersed in his love, surrounded by his love, comforted by his love, empowered by his love. Imagine, if you will, a swimming pool filled, I think it's a photo, filled not with water, but with Jesus' love. When we find the courage to dive in, we'll find ourselves in a new and different world, a place of refreshing, a place of quiet, cut off from the noise and distractions of the world, a place of support, a place where we're upheld by, immersed and surrounded by Jesus' love. Love begins with the Father and flows through the Son to the disciples. It is, however, dependent on obedience. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And so Jesus provides us with a model of obedience. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus has come to do the will of the one who sent him, that he keeps the Father's word, that he does the Father's will so that the world might know that he loves the Father, that the Father loves Jesus because he lays down his life in obedience to the Father's command. And Jesus promises to love his disciples, to love us, if we obey his commands. I think another image comes to mind, to me anyway, if you like, and that's of nested dolls, like the Russian wooden dolls that pull apart to reveal a smaller one inside. So Jesus invites us to obey so that we might abide in him as he abides in the Father. If we abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in the Father, it follows that we are also in the Father. The little disciple nestles into the larger Jesus, who then nestles into the greater Father. The series of relationships is made complete as we keep Jesus' commands. Jesus uses the word commandment, and of course his disciples would immediately have made a connection with the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament that God gave to the people of Israel. But Jesus says he now gives a new commandment, which sums up all the rest. As we love God and our neighbor as ourselves, we become the people of God and we form a new community of love. Outsiders should be able to look at us and see our friendship, our care, our kindness, forbearance, and love. Love is not an action, is an action, not a feeling. And Jesus tells us that the result of our love will be joy. Loving brings joy. Jesus says, I've spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be made full. Jesus isn't calling us to a dreary lockstep obedience, but to joy. It's not the hollow joy of luxurious surroundings and sated appetites, joy that dissipates as soon as things change. It is instead the joy of a disciplined life, like the joy of an athlete who rejoices after conquering a difficult challenge and months of training to win that race. The athlete may have blistered feet or strained muscles, but those matter little while experiencing the joy of victory. Jackie Pullinger has said this: the second time I went into the walled city, that lawless, squalid slum of drug dens, brothels, and abject poverty, she said, I just felt this incredible joy. And I thought, why am I feeling like this? You know, nobody's given me flowers or said I look beautiful. It's not my birthday. But it was that kind of feeling. I found whenever I was in the walled city, that's how I felt. Of course, I was going to find out about the little girls that had been sold, the old women that were guarding them, and the young triads, and the fights, and the opium addicts, and the misery. But still, I really loved that place. Jesus himself said, as we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, give drink to the thirsty, visit the sick, we do all these things to him. Most certainly, I tell you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me, he says. So in closing, I'd like to share another story of the transforming power of love, the story of a man called Luke, not the apostle who wrote the gospel, but a heroin addict and a triad gangster who found Jesus through Jackie Pullinger. Luke came off drugs after 17 years of addiction and almost as many prison sentences. He chose a new name when he started his new life. Prior to that, he'd been known by a triad name, and he wanted to drop any association with his former life. And he says this: I was told that with Jackie, there was no medication to come off drugs, only prayer. I didn't know how this could work, but some of the people who prayed with me told me it was true. It happened that way for them. I used to know them when they were addicts, so I believed them. By the second day of withdrawal, I was very uncomfortable, even when the others prayed for me. One of them told me to open my mouth and pray. I was shy to pray in front of them, but it seemed I had no choice. If I didn't pray, it wouldn't work, and I'd go back on drugs. So I prayed, Jesus, I confess my sin and ask you into my life and ask you to heal me. Amen. It was wonderful. When I said amen, all the pain stopped. I felt very comfortable and peaceful. It was as if I was on a quiet beach alone and asleep in the sand. I fell asleep. Usually I could never sleep when trying to come off drugs. He then goes on to say that there were some helpers from England and other countries there too, and I was amazed at how much they cared for me. I was beaten up by a Western kid once and was admitted to hospital in a coma. I hated them because I thought Westerners hated the Chinese. Now I was seeing something different. God taught me to love Westerners. Only the power of Jesus could have done that. Love has the power to change lives. Our love for one another, our love for those in need, our love for Jesus. We love because God first loved us. God first loved us in Jesus. So let us love one another. Love is an action, not a feeling.